This is Kurt.
And this is Tracy.
And this is the MFG Cast. Hey everybody, welcome to another board game edition of the MFG Cast. Kurt is here, that's me, along with my beautiful partner, Tracy. We're going to be talking this episode about we're going to do a preview for Reef and Ruins. It is a game that's going to be coming to Kickstarter by Weird Giraffe Games on October 15th. Here's a little blurb about what Reef and Ruins is all about. Dragons and mice definitely have a lot of card games, but the Hydras are more interested in dice. Hydras team up with otters instead of mice, as they're more agreeable to the ocean. There's one dive for each head of the Hydra, either for them to venture into shipwrecks to search for treasure, work together to enchant their treasure, or send otters to the reef to get pearls. Each head of the Hydra typically wants to do something different, but they occasionally can agree to work together for Hydra's sake. Will your team of Hydras and otters have the best hoard at the end of the game? So let's talk about what actually Reef and Ruins is. It's basically a roll and write game. Because you start out with three dice, you have three sheets or boards, if you want to call them those, for gameplay. And how exactly do we play the game of Reefs and Ruins?
Don't forget the pencil.
Oh, there's the pencil, too. And the pencil that we got had a little cute hearts on them, which I thought was cool. But again,
we had the prototype.
Yes. Yeah. And usually when we do previews for games, I forget to tell people. Usually we have prototypes. It's not part of the main game, the final product.
But either way, we had cute little hearts on our pencils.
Sure did.
It was like a highlight.
Yes,
exactly. I mean, not saying that the game wasn't a highlight, but the little hearts on the pencils were so cute.
Yes, for sure. So how are we playing Reef and Ruins?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, you're the only one around.
Oh, okay.
I'm not asking myself.
Okay, so what you alluded to was that there's like three player sheets or boards, and they're two-sided. So one sheet will be the reef. I have to think about this really hard because there's a lot of R's in this. So one sheet is the reef, one sheet is the ruins, and one sheet is enchantments. So the ruins and the enchantments, either side of the sheet of those, as we were playing this copy, are the same. The reef, each side of it is different. So one side would play different from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And that depends on what you choose as you're playing.
Yep, and you all decide to pick one. You don't pick one side or the other. You all pick one side to play for.
Yeah, it wouldn't make sense if you each chose whatever.
Yeah.
So but it's like side A and side B.
I always like saying that anyway, just in case, you know.
Yep, so you start with, it's one of those games where you have three dice, or as you alluded to in the overview, is three Hydra, which I don't know what a Hydra is.
It's like
Does that make me dumb?
It's a mythical sea beast with three heads. So basically, on the front cover of the itself, it actually has art of...
That is a cute Hydra, though.
Yes, for sure. Oh, you know what? Talk about it more. Let me just read the stats on who made it and, you know, and stuff
Well,
like
you
that.
Said who made it.
Yep.
Which is Weird Draft Games.
Yes.
Oh, the company.
Weird Draft Games. Designed by Carla Kopp. Graphic design by John Merchant and M.G. Patino. And illustration by John Merchant. It plays 1 to 100 players. We didn't get the solo version of this, but that will be included in the game when it comes out for Kickstarter. It plays 30 minutes, and the ages are 8 and up.
And if you know 100 people, congratulations.
No kidding. If you know 5 people, congratulations.
But in all seriousness, I like the fact that it offers the ability to play with however many people you want.
Yeah.
Because you could play it in a big group of people.
Yep.
Because you could have laminated sheets or something, or, you know, whatever, to be able to have a big, like, hey, bring this to a family reunion or something like that, play it. But anyway, I digress. So anyway, you have 3 dice, which are your Hydra, or is the Hydra. Is it the Hydra?
Yeah, because it's technically their
one.
Even though they're 3 personalities, they're still one being.
Okay. So basically, as you're laying out your player sheets, you're rolling these 3 dice, and everybody is going to be playing off the same dice.
Yes.
At the same time. So it's not like, hey, I'm going to take this one, you're going to take that one, whatever. You're going to be playing, I'm going to be playing the same role as Kurt's going to be playing, as John's going to be playing, as Jason's going to be playing. Or whatever, whoever's playing with you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to play with a John and a Jason. If you want to, that's cool. They're cool. So you're going to look at these sheets. So I alluded to 3 different sheets. There's a ruins sheet where it has 6 different sections on it. So in order to play in that section, you have to have a die to unlock it. So it ranges from 1 to 6, and depending on what it is, you have to have, like I said, that die to unlock it, but then there's certain criteria. So, like, I think the first section is the dice that you place there have to be identical.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just kind of go around because I can't remember what is what. There's another spot where you unlock it with, I think, a number 2 die. And the numbers next to each other, or orthogonally, which would be right next to each other, not diagonally, cannot be equal to each other. Mm-hmm. So the sky's the limit once you unlock that ruin. So you could play a 2 in one section, you could play a 3 next to it, but then you couldn't play a 3 next to the next 3. And you just fill that out. I think there's 6 spots to complete. 3 on the top and 3 on the bottom.
I think it's actually 4.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't think so.
Let me look to make sure, but I'm pretty sure. No, you're right. There's 3 on the top, 3 on the bottom. You are correct.
Okay. So then there's like another, I'll just give an example of one more rune. So then there's another one where you unlock it and you'd have to play only even dice in that rune, or only odd dice. There's another one that's only odd dice in the rune, but it has to equal a number that's displayed there. So
it doesn't necessarily have to, know.
It doesn't?
You don't, no. You can do odds and evens, but it also has extra ones where it shows you what it needs to equal up to, and you actually get bonuses for if you get those correct. So Tracy is giving me a look, she must have played this wrong.
We're going to pause that, me talking, because should I have gotten more points?
Did you not score the points for the correct columns? Because that's what the bonus points are for. We haven't talked about
okay.
yet.
Okay. I always made sure I had it.
Yeah.
Okay. We again digressed. So I always thought you were required.
No, it's not a requirement.
Boy, I really locked and loaded myself up
in that one. Yeah. See, and that's the thing. And this is just a little sidebar, but like, if you get towards the end and you don't have these dice that work out for you, you can always put them in those spots to get, you can still get points for the roads, which we'll talk about, but you know, you just don't get the bonus points.
See, and I thought it was just if you filled in numbers in those rows, mm-hmm. but I always met the criteria. Gotcha. So. Okay, so that's the ruins.
Ooh, can I say one more thing just before we get go?
Yeah.
You don't have to fill out completely those spots either. So, like, if you had the number 1 where it's like you put 2 dice in the same spot, you could put like a 6 there, a single 6, and then come back later and put another single 6 there. Some of these have criteria where you have to fill them out a certain way, and the others you can just kind of fill them out as you go.
Yep, which is really nice.
Yes, I think so as well.
Okay, so that's that sheet. Then there's a sheet that's next to it, well, that I usually put next to it, called Enchantments. And there's kind of like a dotted line that connects with it, and Enchantments kind of enhance your... Well, it gets you more points as you go along and enhances your play. So if you, it ranges from what, seven to 12, meaning like when somebody rolls has a dice roll, you could use any number of dice, which you'd have to use two or more because no one can roll a seven with one die.
Or 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
And if you can, congratulations, that's weird. You can unlock an enchantment, and each enchantment is connected to one of those runes that I was referring to, and they get you certain things. So you could get extra shells, which are shells are help you to manipulate your dice up or down, and you can use multiple shells to get, so you could go and take a two die that you wanted to make a four, and you could cross off two shells that you've acquired and make it a four. You can never go from a six to a one or a one to a six unless you go the long way. So you'd have to use five shells to go up or down from a six to a one.
And I don't know if we referenced this, but the dice that you get are all, there are 3d6s.
Oh yeah, we didn't really say that, did we?
No.
Yeah, we're terrible. So these enchantments can also do things so that they could have you circle more shells, so you're always circling two at a time to help you. It could get your runes as you're totaling them up at the end of the game. You could do times three, times four. I think there's one that's a times five. You could cross off extra pearls, which we'll talk about in a little bit. It could get you to have another certain die value that you can place anywhere you want in your runes. So you might get to the point where you'd cross off a six, and you could add a six somewhere in your runes or on your reef, which we haven't talked about.
Yep, and you have to make sure that you obviously you follow the rules of the game too.
Yep, and again, we're just giving you, we always have the tendency to give more of a detailed overview.
Yes.
But, so that's that. And then on the final sheet is the sheet that I talked about that can have an A or B side. So I always want to make sure that all players are playing on the same side. But one of the sides, or one of the tops, is it looks like a bingo board. And it has different numbers on it. And you have to start from the center and work out orthogonally. And as you complete a row or a column, you get to cross off a pearl. And pearls bring you down to a section on this sheet where you get a reef bonus, where you could decide what you want to cross off, whether you want to cross off a certain number and place it in your ruins, or if you want to cross off another reef number in your bingo board. Whether you want to score some or collect some coins, which are considered like points at the end of the game, if you want to cross off some enchantment. And then there's also two pearls that are X's, and those will be applicable to cross off any number.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Or write down any number. Yeah. Yep.
And then the bottom right hand of the reef is actually for end game scoring.
Yep. And also you can also have a lucky number too, which you all start out for the end of the game, and you'll get points for the end of the game that way too, which we'll talk about.
Yep. Other side of the reef is the same when it comes to the bonuses that I talked about, and the scoring that is on the bottom of it, except it plays as a little mini polyomino game. So it has different grayed out sections, but it also has colored out shapes. And as you put certain die values in there, each die value is tied to a certain shape. So if you think of the game Tetris, like the number six has the four piece square. If you place that in this section of the Tetris piece, it has to cover all of those colored sections. So there's like blue, yellow, orange, and green. It has to cover those entirely. And then once you finish a row completely or a column completely, you get to cross off a pearl and take those bonuses like the other side of that sheet. If you cross off two rows completely, you actually get an extra pearl to be able to utilize throughout the game. And so you could, like, I remember one game we played where I ended up having to, I think I ended up with seven pearls that I had to disperse throughout the three sheets. Mm-hmm.
I think she cheated, but I won't call it out. I'll just call it out now instead of back then when I should have.
I don't think that counts then. But
oh, okay.
So that's that. So basically, the game runs in 18 rounds. And some of the rounds have little sort of, I would say, bonuses almost. So you hit certain rounds and everybody circles two shells. Or everybody can select an entitlement that they want to.
Enchantment.
Or... Did I say entitlement?
I was like, that hey. Was, we haven't used that the whole episode. Hey. Now all of a sudden you just pulled that out of your
that
butt?
That starts with an E. Everybody can select an enchantment that they would like that comes into play so they don't have to use their dice a certain way.
Yeah, yeah.
Or
everybody rolls a D6. Yep.
Yep. And then they get to use the number wherever they want. Without having to use a die to unlock like a rune or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a variety of things that you can do when you roll your dice. You can use them all in the ruins to unlock and place dice. You could unlock, place a die, and then take the other one and place one in your reef. You could use... I mean, it's... There's a bunch of different things. You could... Unlock one, place one in your ruin, circle some shells. You could do enchantments, and then you could circle shells. Like, you could use them all in your reef. Like, so many options. Like, it took me a while to remember all of the different ways that you could use your dice. And all the different things you could do it because you're not really locked into only being able to do something one way.
Yeah. And that's the thing I like about Rule and Rights is a lot of times, and especially in this game in particular, it gives you lots of different options to be able to play certain ways. And I think that's why our gaming group and us in particular as well, we love playing these games because you could play this game over and over and over again. You play tens of hundreds of times and you really still wouldn't get that sick of it because you're playing it kind of different every time depending upon whatever dice you have and what other people, you know, you're trying to maybe do a different strategy against other people because they're doing it a certain way and stuff like that, so you want to try to get more points a different way.
Well, it's the variability of the dice too. Like, I know some people aren't really into dice, like the luck of the roll and stuff like that. Yes. But at the same time, this one isn't like tying you down to being able to do certain things. You still have the flexibility of being able to have three sheets, which you can do different things on.
Yes.
Every single time. So just because in one game you played, you filled up this certain section and did these enchantments and did all this stuff, doesn't mean the next game you're going to play that you're going to focus on that, you might focus on something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like for me, I found that to be absolutely true.
Yes.
There were some, you know, there were some runes and things like that that I never even used in some of the other games that we played.
Mm-hmm.
And then based on the dice rolls and how things were working out, I just ended up doing it that way instead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's... did we talk about end game scoring yet?
No, I haven't.
All right, let's do that. So, just to kind of reference before we get to the end game scoring part, Tracy had talked about enchantments. So enchantments, a lot of times, what they do is they, like she said, you get the shells, you get the extra die, but also you get these bonuses, these times whatever, and that actually helps you get a better multiplier for your ruins to score at the end of the game. And also what Tracy said, which I thought was a kind of a fun thing, is that the ruins, if you put the ruins next to the enchantments, which is what you're supposed to do, there's this little line that kind of goes from the ruins to each enchantment line. And they're actually, so they're designated for those certain spots. So the number one ruin would actually be connected to the number seven enchantment, the number two, eight, three, nine, and so forth. And then what you do is, depending upon, you know, what dice you use, you can actually get those upgraded bonuses, basically. So for endgame scoring, what you're going to be doing is the first one that they have is this enchantment total. So what it is you are taking that times whatever. So if it's times two up to, I think, some of them go up to times five. Yep, correct. And some of them, I think, only go to a times four. You would take whatever you got for the ruins. So, like, just for examples again, because I don't want to go through all of them. For the ship ruins, the number one where it's got the same die, you have three pairs that you can do. And for each finished row, you get extra bonuses there. So if you get all three rows, you get 8 points, or coins, they call it, for points. And so if you take that 8 points, you go to your enchantment area and you get a times three. You got your 8 times 3, which is 24. You would put that as your enchantment total. And then it just kind of goes on and on, like the odds. If you get a whole row, you get 3 points for each row, which is 2. And then you also get extra points or coins for correct columns. So if you got one column, you got 1, 2 for 2, 3 for 4. Or if you had all 4 columns correct, you would get 7 points there. So, like, say we got both rows, which would be 6, and then we got all columns correct, which would be 7. That would be 13 points. And then if you got 13 times 2, that would make it 26. So that would be your enchantment bonus, or your enchantment total. So that would be the first one that you total up.
And it's possible that you don't do anything with enchantments.
Yes.
Based on the ruins that you may have worked on or finished or whatever. And that's okay.
Yes. And you'll still get the points as your enchantment total.
Even like your base points.
Yes. Yeah. Even if you did the ruins and you didn't do any of the enchantments. So you total all those up.
Yep.
The next thing you'll do is you'll do your lucky number bonus. So we kind of alluded to this before. Everybody rolls at one die, they get their lucky number, 1 through 6. At any time during the game, if you put that on your board, either in your ruins or if you use one of the numbers in your reef, then you would actually take however many times that you've used that number and times it by 2, because you get 2 coins per lucky number on there. So you'll multiply those together.
And side note on this is, this came up when we were playing with other people, is if you manipulate that number, like if your lucky number is a 2 and you had a 2 but you manipulated it to a 4, it's a 4 now.
Yes.
So it's not a 2 anymore.
Yep.
Like there would be no way to tell that you manipulated it to a 4 unless you marked something.
Yeah.
So it's a 4 now, so it has to be a 2. If you manipulated a 1 to a 2, it's a 2 now.
Correct.
And that's your lucky
number. That counts. So that's a good way to beef up your lucky number bonus if you can do it that way.
Yeah.
And then lastly is your reef bonuses, which are those coins that are 5 per on the reef bonus. And you'll take all of those. You'll total them all up, and whoever has the highest score wins. The thing that I love about what they've done with this game for the tie, we hate ties here. We've always hated ties. We've always thought they were dumb. If you're going to play a game, you should play to win or play to lose, or if you're playing as a group, you play to win, lose, or whatever. I like the fact that in this one, Carla says that if you tie for first, whoever hadn't tied for first wins. Because Hydras love to play, I can't remember what it was, like play tricks or something like that. So I thought that was a cool little, like, something different. So it's like, now you're forced to play to win, not for a tie. Because if you tie, you lose. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. So let's talk, you know, a little bit again, we always seem to go a little bit further in our previews than maybe other people do, but I like that because we're able to kind of talk to you about every little, you know, a lot of little aspects of the game. But let's talk about, like, what we really liked and what was kind of fun and what worked and stuff like that. So, like, for me, I've always loved Roll and Writes. I just think they're a lot of fun when they're made correctly. I feel like it's one of those when you're playing, you're like, I could do this again. And you play it very easily. You know, like this one says it plays 30 minutes. I think even if you get to a point where you're playing high level and your other players are playing high level, I think you could play even like 15 minutes or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That would be intense.
It would
be. I don't know. That's pushing it.
Okay.
I think that's pushing it because depending on like how strategic you want to be.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. For sure. And some people are a little more like thoughtful and play, you know, like, oh, I have to do this and this and this and that kind of thing, but whatever. But sometimes,
especially 18 rounds.
That's true.
That's like saying that's less than a minute a round.
But the funny thing is, when we played it the other night, we played with our gaming group. And we had four players. The first game took a bit because we had to teach it to our other two players. But the second game did not take very long. It went pretty fast.
It was still 30 minutes.
Really? You think so?
Yes, okay. I know so.
You know so? Okay. I wasn't paying enough attention. Anyway.
I actually was because it went after the time we normally stop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like the way the game plays between the how it works together with the ruins and the enchantments. Because then, you know, you can get yourself a little bit more of a beefy score and stuff like that. And the way they play it, too, is that a lot of times you're not going to be able to, you know, put all of your dice in certain spots in the ruins. And there's going to be a lot of times where you're not going to get the dice you truly want for those enchantments. So sometimes you're going to have to either use shells or you're going to have to kind of turn on a dime to do something else. You know, that kind of thing. So it really kind of opens up, you know, different strategies and different ways to even play, even with a single turn, which I think is pretty cool. The theme of the game, it's there. Like, I don't think it's like dripping with theme, but I think it works well with what it has. You know, you could probably put any kind of theme with this Roll and Write or whatever, that kind of thing. But I like the cuteness of the art. I like how it looks. It does make you feel kind of like you're working underwater, but not too terrible. No, not incredible. It doesn't immerse me in it, but it's the theme is there.
Well, I think it makes sense with like the pearls and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But a lot of times when I'm playing the game, sometimes I don't really think of that, you know. I like think of it as, oh, that's a pearl, and then I just use it to use the bonus or whatever, but I don't think of the theme as much. I like the ruins for the replayability of it, because, again, with dice and how there's a chance and rolls all the time, you're not going to be ended up playing the same ship ruins the same way each game, probably, you know? So it'll be one of those things where, like, you'll be able to, you know, roll a bunch of different dice and fill that out. And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, I don't have anything that works out because I have a 4 and a 6 here. And all we keep rolling are 4s and 6s. And I can't put those with those different ones because they're not orthogonal. So now I'm going to have to either do evens or I'm going to have to use some shells to kind of update and make them the same number and stuff like that. So it's a nice little strategic game and I really enjoy it.
Did you leave anything for me?
No, I did not.
You just kept saying stuff, and I'm like, is there going to be anything left for me?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, you can always disagree, or no, is there something you want to add on to?
I know, I'm just giving you crap. So, what I like is the fact that there is a challenge with the runes and having to unlock them.
Yeah.
First, because otherwise I feel like it wouldn't be as challenging if you didn't have to have a die to place to unlock it, or a die to have to manipulate to unlock a rune before you can actually place something in it. And just because you unlock it one time doesn't mean that it's unlocked for the rest of the game. You do it every single time.
Yep.
And I think that makes a difference, because I think otherwise, like, it wouldn't be as you wouldn't have to be as thoughtful about things. So I like that. And then I also like the fact of the reef board and how you have the two options of the top section of having it be more of like that bingo style versus the polyomino. Because I think that the experience, because when we even played it with our game buddies, that the experience is just totally different. Like, you can tell how people play the polyomino portion versus the bingo portion. Like, for me, I'm obsessed with having to fill it up like a Tetris board. And so I filled up my whole board on the top versus, like, I think it's a stressor sometimes for people. Not that they don't like polyomino, but they just play different.
Mm-hmm.
And I like being able to have the option to be able to flip that side of the sheet over to one or the other based on what the group chooses.
Yeah. And the funny thing about that polyomino side too is you don't have to like start and then put the other one next to it and the other one next to it. You can do it however you like on that board. But it leads to a interesting challenge, because say you put one piece on one board or one part of the board and you put another one on the opposite side of the board, then if you're not filling in these things correctly, the shaded in pieces that you're supposed to cover completely, if you don't strategize on how you're going to do that, sometimes you're going to leave some spots open. And I don't know if we talked about this, but there at any point during that polyomino reef, if you can actually use one of the die, you can actually discard it and then you get two separate single X's or boxes that you can put anywhere on your board. So that helps try to fill out
fill in those gaps.
But you have to be careful, because if you're not careful on how you strategize setting those pieces, you might screw yourself into not being able to fill out as much as your board to get those bonuses.
Right. So those are the two items that I like that come to mind,
mm-hmm.
as like the dominant ones that I can think of. I mean, what you said, I also agree with,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not going to repeat them.
Yeah. But yeah, we've played a lot of games by Weird Draft Games. We've actually done some previews. We've done some reviews for them. And Weird Draft just really keeps coming out with hits. And this is one that I really like getting to the table. And I hope that when October 15th comes around, and they have this on Kickstarter, I hope that you decide to back it, because I feel like this is one that any age could really play, you know?
This is probably one of my favorites by them.
Yeah. And I feel like it's probably not going to be that expensive either, because, you know, there's a lot of good detail in it, but there's not a ton of meat to it. So, like, it'll probably come at a good price.
And well, it's not a big, it doesn't have a huge box presence.
Correct. Yep.
So
it's something you could like put in your purse, or you can take in a little bag or something like that, bring it to like a game store, or like even out to eat or something like that.
Yeah. I just mean for like big, like 12 by 12 box anything like that, for production value and things like that.
For sure. And it also can be one of those things too, if you're smart about it. You kind of alluded to this too, Tracy, like you could laminate some of those sheets, and you could just have yourself a dry erase sheet that you could use for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like you'll get a lot more gameplay out of this than you would normally. So
yeah, I think that's a good thing to do with Roll and Write games.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, like I said, just make sure you go out there, check it out. Even if it's something you're just kind of questioning, please go to Kickstarter, give them a look. I'm sure you won't be disappointed. October 15th. And thank you again to Carla and everyone at Weird Draft Games for letting us preview this game. I think that's it for this episode of the MFG Cast. We've got lots of things going on. Check out our YouTube video for our D&D episodes that are coming out. You can find us on TikTok as well, Instagram, stuff like that. And until then, I'm Kurt.
And I'm Tracy.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.